Genesis 15.
These are the squatters.
Hmm?
The squatters, the Amorites.
Yeah, those are the ones that are on the land illegally. Hmm. And the Hebrew, Amorites are like,
but they didn't know they were there.
Oh, no, of course not. Amorites
thought they were real.
They thought they were
legit. No.
So like you and I. I'm just living my life, man.
I'm just doing what comes naturally.
The fact is that you are an Amorite. You are an illegal usurper of the land that belongs to Jesus Christ. The Amorite is a little bit different than just being an illegal usurper. The Amorite is a usurper in God's name. In Genesis 15 and let's go back to 15:7. It's the prophecy of Israel's bondage. It's the prophecy of the seed of Christ's bondage within you, if you can see it. It happened physically in Israel in this time period, but it happened here so that you could see it in you. It happened in the type so you could see it in the fact. And he said unto him, I am the Lord that brought thee out of Ur of the Chaldees to give thee this land to inherit it. And he said, Lord God, whereby shall I know that I shall inherit it? And he said unto him, take me a heifer of 3 years old, and a she-goat of 3 years old, and a ram of 3 years old, and a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. And he took unto him all these, and divided them in the midst, and laid each piece one against another, but the birds he divided not. It is said that he showed him three kinds of bullocks, three kinds of goats, and three kinds of rams. It is said that what that means is he showed him three different aspects of the completed work of Christ. He showed him the first kind of bullock was the sacrifice on the Day of Atonement. The second bullock was the bullock on account of the unwitting sin. And the third was the red heifer whose neck was broken for cleansing. And he showed him three kinds of goats. One that was presented as the festivals for the sin offerings, one that was presented at the new moons, and one that was brought for individuals for the sin offering. And three kinds of rams. It was the guilt offering of certain types, so that when the leper was cleaned, when the Nazarite vow was complete, when the guilt offering of doubt, and when the sin offering, again, for individuals. Now, what we said the other night, he showed Abraham all of the atoning sacrifices. And therefore, what he showed Abraham was all of the finished work of Christ that one night. And it says in Galatians 3 that the gospel here was preached unto Abraham. And if we believe that, what it means is that he saw the fullness of what Christ has done for society before societies existed. He showed Abraham the meaning of all the sacrifices before the sacrifices. And hopefully he can show you that by one offering, Christ has perfected forever them that are sanctified. The only question you have to make is, am I yours, Lord? If you can say, I am yours, Lord, then nothing else. There's no other figuring out necessary. Now, that's what each of these nine different kinds of looks at Christ are nine different views of this finished work. And then, anyway, to complete it. And when the fowls came down upon the carcasses, Adam, Abram drove them away. We talked last time about who those fowls were. And they're the same fowls that are now sitting as your board of elders in your mind, telling you and giving you the instructions. They're the fowls that are saying that the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ wasn't enough, that there's something else that you have to do. And it manifests itself outwardly, fundamentally, in the retention of guilt. When you retain guilt, that means the fowls, you've paid attention to these fowls. These foul fowls. And the reason the retention of guilt is so insidious is that if you can retain righteousness by retaining guilt. And if you retain guilt, then by definition, you have to point the finger. You have to point the finger to cover your own guilt. Another interpretation of these goats and heifers and rams are these were symbols of all of the kings that had something to do with Jewish history. The heifer symbolized Babylon and the three kings, Nebuchadnezzar, Merodach, and Belshazzar. The she-goat typified Media and the three kings, Cyrus, Darius, and Ahasuerus. And the ram typified the threefold aspects of Greece. Birds he divided not. Why didn't he divide the birds?
He said spirit, and I said, but they're also demons, so your plain substitution of type doesn't necessarily work.
Well, that's one interpretation, that the spirit isn't divided. But he didn't divide the birds. The only birds that are symbolized as demons in the scriptures are the ones that are the unclean birds, the birds that eat dead flesh. They're scavengers. But you know, the ones that require another's misery for their sustenance. It's like people who make their living. Well, Harry and I had to watch all of this television stuff yesterday. But where we, you know, all of the stuff where I've been, we're making a demo tape for Channel 33, right? So I had to watch all this stuff. And, you know, it was all these programs, you know, the one you were on with McQuiston Show, you know, and all these other ones. Anyway, and all I saw was a bunch of homeless pimps. You know, those people who were making their living by the fact that there was homelessness. Anyway, and then there's all these guys who would, if there weren't any homeless people, they wouldn't have a job. Think about it. He who attempts to resist a storm is swept away by it. He who bends and sways with the storm is not swept away, but is purified by it. The ancients used to say, if you're near the truth, you're near the wind. They said of Christ, if you're near him, you're near the fire. So if you're near the fire or near the wind, it's explosive. If you bend, that's allegedly the symbol of the birds. It's the idea that you would that the birds would spread your wings at the storm instead of resisting it. think about how, think about it. If you're near the truth, you're near the wind. Where are we? We're at wind and fire and stuff.
We're down to divided birds.
And when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram, and lo, a horror of great darkness, the dread. Another one interpretation said the dread or the horror refers to Babylon, the darkness refers to Persia, and the great darkness refers to Greece. The ancient Hebrews thought of Greece as the worst possible. It's the worst thing that could have. Greece was the worst thing that could have happened to Israel because Greece civilized Israel. Greece caused Israel to become rational. It's the Greek rational thought has corrupted the church ever since. The idea of civilization and what these great cathedrals and churches and making church nice was an anathema to the first century. And yet that's what they've done. They wanted, anyway, so Greece is the great darkness. But what is it in you? The horror of great darkness. It has to be repeated in you. Anyway, the smoking furnace and the flaming torch that we're going to see in a minute in verse 17. It came to pass that when the sun went down and it was dark, behold, a smoking furnace and a lamp on a burning lamp that passed through those pieces. It says, they said that this showed God. God showed Abram four things through these things. It said he showed him Gehenna, and what he really showed him was Christ in Gehenna. It showed him all of the foreign kingdoms that Israel would be dispersed into. It showed him Revelation, and it showed him the temple and its completion. And it said, as long as the children of Israel occupy themselves with the latter two, namely Revelation and the meaning of the temple, they will be saved from the former two, namely Gehenna and the foreign kingdoms. If they neglect Revelation and the temple, and the meaning of the temple, they will be punished by Gehenna and by foreign kingdoms. That says, my people perish for lack of knowledge. That's a bad translation. A better translation is, my people perish for lack of revelation. And revelation can only come the true God's revelation can only come at your perception of vanity. It can't be learned. It can only come when you see that whatever path it is that you're on leads to futility. And from that, the promises of revelation. Now, let's go back now. Verse 16, in the fourth generation they shall come here again, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. Somebody go to Matthew 23, verse 30. This is good. I need this.
Serious stuff.
This is my favorite part of the Bible.
The woe stuff.
You start doing that woe.
He likes that woe stuff.
Matthew 23. Matthew 23. Let's go. Let's sort of start at verse 23.
Woe.
What?
Woe's
what?
Whoa, 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 whoa. It started at 16.
It started at 16. There's a whoa.
Whoa, 14.
Look, you're stepping all over. Mark's only got 10 more minutes and he has to leave us.
Whoa. We better woe and hurry then.
I'd rather hear some other woes from this crowd.
You've heard a lot of woes already.
Fine. Wish woes on us. Thanks a lot.
Thanks a lot. Thanks a lot, Mark.
It's already getting pretty
good. Do I get to read?
We've
lost a minion anymore.
We're on the couch to lay down. I
mean. You can lay down now.
Whoa. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought you have done, and not leave the other undone. You blind guides would strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. See, that's the reason that those penis ads. Have you seen the Camel cigarettes? They're just a bunch of penises advertising. They're penises that are smoking. Have you seen
pretty that? Subtle,
guys
isn't
in the van, they're just camels in the vans.
Yeah, but all the Camel ads are all over the place.
Yeah.
But now, swallowing. Now what is it?
Have you seen the mug?
Hard pack.
The hard pack.
They look like
That's the whole idea. They've increased Camel. I'm serious. This is from Advertising Age. They've increased the sale of Camels to female population by 200%.
That's disgusting.
You blind guides would strain at a gnat and swallow a camel.
Matthew,
nice time to enter.
Well, blind guides.
Blind guides straining at gnats and swallowing camels. Whoa! You blind guys! Did I read that one?
Yeah.
You strained in the mat and swallowed a
See, I was thinking if Jackie would have been here, you would have heard little.
Won't you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you make clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within you are full of extortion and excess. Thou blind Pharisee, cleanse first that which is within the cup and the platter, that the outside of them may be clean also. What?
Matthew 23:26.
Woe unto you, scribes! This is a scripture I quoted that Methodist bishop, and he beat me up on television.
Physically?
He was sitting next to me, and he's wham, wham, wham. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! This is what I read to him. For you are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness. The reason we're talking about just welfare in general, not this homelessness. Idiots, the reason the United States has a welfare problem is because you've made the outside clean and inside you're full of dead men's bones.
Oh, God.
Even so, you also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within you are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. See why this is my favorite section right here?
Yeah.
9:33.
We'll get to you in a minute.
Your time don't run out.
We gotta read 33 at 9:01.
Yeah, let's slow down. Let's talk about this.
Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because you build the tombs of the prophets and garnish the sepulchres of the righteous. Well, it means that what I mean spiritually is you say, oh, aren't Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John nice guys?
Oh, I see.
Isn't it?
Yeah, like you dress
Zechariah is a great saint.
Jeremiah,
what a nice man.
What a teacher.
Jesus, what a teacher. And garnish the sepulchre of the righteous. And say, if we had been in the days of our fathers, we would not have been partakers with them in the blood of the prophets. Wherefore ye be witnesses against yourselves, that you are the children of them which killed the prophets. Fill you up then the measure of your fathers.
Meaning take on their guilt?
No. Oh. Meanings fulfill the iniquity of the Amorites.
Finish out the evil.
Genesis 15.
Wow.
You know why? Why is it necessary to fulfill the iniquity of the Amorites? Go to 1 Thessalonians 2. Okay. 2 Thessalonians. This is what God showed Abraham. This is what Jesus is talking about when we just read, and this is what we must see. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. The sin of the Amorites, the fulfilling the measure of the fathers, is letting the sin, the wicked one, the falling away of the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped. So that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. The moment you know the sin of the Amorites, the iniquity of the Amorites is full, is when you know that you are the one they're talking about. That you have set yourself up in the temple of God, that you proclaim yourself to be as God, that you judge for yourself good and evil rather than living in the dependence of the Father. That's the fulfillment of the sin of the Amorites. You understand? That's what it means to fulfill the process. An Amorite is one who is illegally in the land. Because you cannot pick up the cross of Christ unless you know that the iniquity of the Amorites is full. You hear me? Otherwise, you'll pick up a portion of it. And you will look for the Antichrist everywhere else except in the mirror. Who opposeth, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Showing himself that he is God. I've got this under control. This is how it should be. Remember you not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? And now you know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. Who might be revealed? What is being revealed here? It's what Jesus said, filling up the sin of the fathers. It's what God showed Abraham, the sin of the Amorites might be full. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work, only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way, and then shall that wicked one be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his presence, who is being destroyed. You. The evil one. This is the evil one. This is where the sin of the Amorite must be fulfilled. This is where the iniquity of the Amorite must be seen. This is where the usurper of the land that rightfully belongs to Christ. This is where your name, oh my God, my name's written in the book of life. No, it's not. Praise God, all these idiots. Praise God, my name's written. God says he has a new name for you, that no flesh shall glory in his presence. I promise you, the way that the iniquity of the Amorites cannot be fulfilled as long as you have your name on your ministry. This is for Mark's purpose. If you have Robert Tilton Ministries, then by definition, the sin of the Amorite can't be fulfilled because it would destroy your purpose in being around. You understand? The Billy Graham Evangelistic Association can't fulfill the sin of the Amorites because it would have to destroy Billy Graham to be fulfilled. And as long as you believe that you are something in God's kingdom, then your identity will always, in the event, stand in the way of the revelation of this sin of the Amorite. and you cannot understand the doctrine, your ears are dull of hearing, you will continue to walk in grayness, because you will not permit the sin of the Amorite, the iniquity of the Amorite, to be fulfilled. And you will not fill up the affliction or the sin of your fathers, and therefore you will never know this mystery, and therefore you will go straight to Gehenna, no matter whose name you're in. Because you will have served a purpose for a brief moment in time, and then when time ends, wham, you go to right down the dump, right down. Now, can you understand a little better the sin or the iniquity of the Amorites, why it must be fulfilled, and why this is the gospel that Abram saw, and why he called it a horror of great darkness? Until you see that, you're just playing at God stuff. You're just trying to put labels on shit. And you'll always be a victim of somebody or something. Where in the hell is Tonto?
He was trying to convert us in Bible study last we saw him.
They probably tied him up and captured him.
No, he asked us if
it's his chance to hang it up.
They were there on Victor. I'm sure.
Well, he went over there and he couldn't get it.
Probably out.
They went to ice cream on the rock.
No, they went to get strawberries.
They went to get strawberries.
They're being unspiritual.
I want to apologize, but I don't really know what for. I know that I didn't feel sorry.
Harry, if you don't like being near the fire, near the storm, near the, then you're in the wrong place. I'm going to bust you every single time you take yourself seriously. You'll get about as much mercy from me as you will from an idiot cat out in the street. As long as you continue to take yourself and what you do seriously, you're going to get busted. It's just crazy. This is something you can't steamroller, because this is something that has to be the encouragement. These people are your salvation. They have to be,